The show is live and local. It's your connection to, local performances. And our program today will cover two of the summer studio theater productions being presented by the Department of Theater at the University of Illinois at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. Those two shows both involve Kent Conrad. In the case of the show called Gone Missing, he's serving as musical director, and we'll have most of the cast on the show with us in the later portion of our program today. And then Kent is vocalist for a cabaret about change, as it's called, Sprung and Awakened, along with pianist Paul Johnston. That's happening for just two performances this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, and of course all these things at the Krannert Center in Urbana, and Kent will give us a preview of that in the first portion of the program. Hope you'll stay with us. It's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. That's the opening music from the original Broadway cast recording of the musical Cabaret. Willkommen, welcome, it is called. And I thought that might be a reasonable introduction to our program today, which includes a cabaret, specifically one called Sprung and Awakened, a cabaret about change, it's called. Featuring vocalist Kent Conrad and pianist Paul Johnston, it's one of the summer studio theater presentations being given at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. And that one, unlike the other ones, is happening only twice, both of them this weekend, Saturday night at 10 o'clock and Sunday evening at 6:30. 7:30. I'm looking right here. It says 7:30, and I'm saying 6:30. I can't explain that. And I've even had my tea for the morning. And Kent Conrad is with us, not only to give us a preview of this cabaret, but also coming up later in the show, we'll be having a preview of one of the other shows from the Summer Studio Theater series, which he happens to be musical directing, along with stage director Tom Mitchell, and we'll have those singers coming up. That's called Gone Missing. More on that to come. First of all, Kent, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
I teased the audience in my promo for the show the last day by saying that you used to be a lawyer, I guess technically. Could still say you're a lawyer.
I still am. Keep the license up. Yes.
And you used to translate Chinese for the Air Force, I think.
Yes.
And other things that you used to do that I've heard about over the years. But one thing that I guess you've always done is play the piano in one way or in one place or another, and decided enough of that other stuff. This is what you really love to do. And you're at the University of Illinois now pursuing a doctorate in piano accompanying, but you're also teaching full-time at Eastern Illinois University, pianist, accompanist, and doing musical directing and doing performing. And I know you've been on this show a couple of times, at least, for things where you've had cameo appearances of sorts, or you've ended up acting from the piano.
For How to Succeed in Business, yes.
Yeah, that was one. So I'm very curious about this cabaret, Sprung and Awakened, a cabaret about change. Are you the writer of this one?
I'm the writer of this show. And if I can say, it's interesting that you chose as the lead-in song, Willkommen from Cabaret, because I think when people think of the word cabaret, they either think of Liza Minnelli and Cabaret the movie, and they think of the club in Decadence, or they think of some New York supper club with someone like Barbara Cook, you know, singing Cole Porter and standards like that. And I guess my idea of cabaret is going back to what it really was like back in the 1930s in Berlin, which was an evening of satirical songs that were grouped together around a certain theme. And these songs and spoken monologues all were serving as social commentary on things that were going on in Berlin at the time. And so issues about inflation, issues about sexuality, and of course then with the rise of the Nazi Party, starting to have songs that were written that were addressing the concerns that people had about that. So I decided for my own shows, basically I call it lying biography, where I mix actual true things that have happened to me in my life with things that have been totally made up, and I leave it to the audience to guess which is the truth and which is fabrication.
So your idea of the cabaret is pretty close to the cabaret that's being depicted in that musical, even though the story, you know, elaborates away from the cabaret scene itself.
Right. But what was interesting in Berlin at that time is that there was actually all sorts of levels of cabaret that you could go to. And so the one that's depicted in the movie Cabaret is kind of the seedier, sort of low-life type of cabaret that people would go to. But then there were these really elegant, sophisticated cabarets that took place in really beautiful venues in Berlin. And for my show, I'm actually doing two songs by Friedrich Hollander, who wrote the music for The Blue Angel with Marlene Dietrich. And he wrote a number of reviews for various cabarets in Berlin.
And you've got some of your own material in this show as well.
I do, yes.
Well, why don't you start us off with something? I know we're going to hear a preview and might as well get an idea of what you got.
Actually, I will make a confession. I'm going to be slightly selfish, and I'm going to do a piece from a previous show because I don't want to give away too much of the joke beforehand. But I will throw out some teasers about what is going to be on the program. But this is a piece that I did in a show about 3 years ago, and it's written by Jeremy Nicholas, who writes songs for the BBC, and it's called Valentine Card. And this is a song for someone that has really healthy self-esteem but is having problems finding someone to be in a relationship with. And so they make the inevitable choice that probably the best person for themselves, for them, is themselves. So, Valentine Card.
Kent Conrad, live on Live and Local.
Why do I love me? Hook, line, and sinker, it just had to be. For can't you see, how could I decline when I asked me to become my Valentine? I send a shiver up and down my spine, can't take my eyes off of me. Demurely I avert my loving gaze from me, it's cruel to flirt, I might get hurt. So simply entre nous, from now on I promise me that I'll be true. But that's not hard to do, no longer slighted or unrequited. Who says that love is blind? I know my ego is my amigo. Oh, what a lucky find. Who is this I see peeping round the bathroom door alluringly? Oh gosh, it's me. When to bed I go, I take all my clothes off one by one, real slow. Then watch the playback on the video, can't take my eyes off of me. Several in the past Thought they'd stay the distance, but we're all outclassed. This time it's going to last. I'm the groom and bride. Only took a moment for me to decide, and when I did, I cried. No more temptation, just pure elation. Each time I catch my eye, my trust been blighted. I'm so excited. Now I'm a one guy guy.
Kent Conrad, it's called Valentine Card. I'm sorry, when you introduced that, did you say that's your tune or
no,
from somebody else?
No, I wish I could take credit for writing this. This is by Jeremy Nicholas, who's a British composer, writes for the BBC.
I was going to say, it's a pretty good song. Whoever wrote it.
Well,
and I'd not heard it before. Not that I would not suspect you of being able to write a pretty good song.
Well, thank you for that.
But I just didn't know. And I'm looking at the song list for the Cabaret. There are three of yours on here, along with music by Stephen Sondheim and Frank Lesser and some other folks, Cy Coleman, Dorothy Fields, some others that I've not heard of myself. The idea of half-truths and so on has almost been a theme on this show in the last week. I've talked with a couple of different singer-songwriters about topics for songs and so on. And some songwriters seem to like to answer the question, what's that song about? Some of them really don't want to answer the question, what's that song about? And the ones that do answer the question seem to give you a mix of, well, it's true, it's not true, or it's partly true. So when you wrote this this show, Sprung and Awakened, which is what you're doing this weekend, how did you pick and choose?
There were certain songs that I've been familiar with for a long time that I just wanted to do. And so, for example, the first song from the second half is another song by Friedrich Hollander called Dressing Song. And this is one that he actually wrote when he escaped from Germany and came to the United States, ended up in Los Angeles, became a film composer. And he was approached to write the music for a movie with a story by Dr. Seuss called The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, which is all about a maniacal piano teacher who tortures this young boy with piano lessons. And so the poor little boy, in the midst of his practicing, falls asleep and has this nightmare about being kidnapped along with 1,000 other young boys to play the world's longest keyboard. And this is all under the direction of Dr. Terwilliger, the infamous Dr. T in the title. And so the song that I'm going to start the second half with is called Dressing Song, and it's Dr. Terwilliger putting on these outlandish outfits to get ready for the big day when all these little boys will play his magnum opus, which is 10 Happy Fingers from his own piano method that he tortures these kids with.
So how does that relate to Kent Conrad?
It's my kind of humor. It's what I'm attracted to, and so that's sort of one way that I pick a song. Another way is I like to spin a monologue so that when I'm telling the story, the song that I eventually end up with as a lead-in, I want people to be guessing how the song is actually going to fit into what I'm talking about. So I guess the one thing that I'll give away that I'm doing on the show is I've written an operatic version of the pivotal scene in Steel Magnolias at the end when Shelby, the daughter, passes away, and they're at the cemetery, and her mother, Malin, who was played by Sally Fields, delivers sort of this graveside speech. And so it's the kind of over-the-top sort of thing that I'm attracted to. And so I, like I said, I spin a monologue that at first you don't know why this has any relationship to what this song is going to be, but it ends up dovetailing, hopefully, rather easily and smoothly.
And any hint of any of the monologue?
Okay, I'll share it. The monologue is about when I was a kid and I had this interest in ancient Greece and Rome, and particularly how the Romans would try to predict the future, and they would have all these different ways. And one of the things that they would actually do is sort of an ancient equivalent of Bible dipping, which was they would take a copy of Virgil's Aeneid, they would randomly open it to a page, they'd close their eyes, they would put their finger down, and whatever line their finger landed on was supposed to be the answer to what their question was about the future. So the whole monologue is about how that work really is not relevant for me in this time, so I wanted to find another work of literature that was just as epic and universal in scope of the human condition, so I picked Steel Magnolias.
Steel Magnolias. And we're going to hear the song?
Unfortunately, you're not going to hear the song because it has a taped accompaniment to it. So sorry to tease you in that way.
Oh, I feel really abused here. Kent Conrad is presenting this cabaret about change, as he calls it, Sprung and Awakened, Saturday and Sunday at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. I was surprised to see, Kent, that you're not playing piano for yourself on that cabaret.
Which I'm really happy about because it gives me so much freedom to act and move about. And so I am really pleased and flattered that my colleague at Eastern, Paul Johnston, who teaches jazz piano, agreed to play for me. And he is a phenomenal performer and is just adding so much to the material. So it's going to be great.
So what do we have next for us?
I have a song by Friedrich Holländer that I'm doing on the show called Illusions. And this is another song that he wrote for Marlene Dietrich, but this was during the period when he was in the United States. It's from the film A Foreign Affair. And so it sort of fits in with the theme about wanting things to change, either daydreaming about change or actually trying to make change a reality in your life.
Kent Conrad, live and live and local. Live on live and local, that's sort of hard to say.
Love is a game you better play according to the rules. And yet we always scheme too much and dream too much, we fools. Want to buy some illusions, slightly used, secondhand. They were lovely illusions reaching high, built on sand. They had a touch, a paradise, a spell you can't explain. For in this crazy paradise, you are in love with pain. Want to buy some illusions, slightly used, just like new. Such romantic illusions, and they're all just for you. Too bad they all fell apart, as dreams often do. They were lovely illusions, but they just wouldn't come true.
Illusions from A Foreign Affair, music by Friedrich Holländer, sung by Kent Conrad. It'll be part of his cabaret called Sprung and Awakened. This weekend at the Krannert Center. It's part of the Summer Studio Theater series this summer. And coming up this hour on Live and Local, very shortly we'll be having a preview of the other show Kent is involved in as musical director, in this case called Gone Missing. We'll have those actors from that show as well. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. coming back to the question of how you pick and choose, in addition to how you pick and choose songs, given that you said the biographical part is full of half-truths, I gather, how did you pick and choose from your life, including what to tell the truth about and what to lie about?
Well, two of the monologues start with actual moments from my life, and then it becomes a springboard into the fabrication. So, for example, one of the pieces that I'm doing, which is called Righteous Thunder, a song that I wrote, the monologue starts with talking about when I was discharged from the Air Force, having served 4 years working as a Chinese translator, and I was set to start in law school that fall. And so talk about it being a period of change in my life, and oftentimes with change, it can be nerve-wracking, and so people cope with that in different ways, and they try to find answers. And so the monologue ends up being about sort of a quest for spiritual meaning in the world and what my final solution was to that question.
Which has a sense of humor to it?
Hopefully it definitely has a sense of humor to it, yes.
And I gather, given your introduction, that this is going back to the Berlin cabarets, where there's political things that are said and so on, that some of that appears throughout this as well.
Yes.
Both true and not.
Both true and not.
It sounds intriguing. What else are you going to tease us with?
I will do a piece if people like the show and they clap for me to do an encore, I would like to do this piece. It's another one by Jeremy Nicholas, and it's a great song. It's called Usher's Blues, and it's about somebody that works at a movie theater as an usher. They're the head usher, and it seems at first like it would be the greatest job in the world because you get to see all the movies for free. But there is one definite drawback to the job, which is talked about in the song.
Kent Conrad in our studio on Live and Local.
I work at the Palace Cinema as the head usher, you know, and I've been tearing tickets there for 50 years or so, showing people to their seats and selling the ice creams. The palace is a wonderland of fantasy and dreams. I get to see the films for free, but it drives me round the bend. Because I am the head usher, I never see the end. Did Gary Cooper get the girl or what? Did Judy Garland find her dog? Were Robert Redford and Paul Newman shot? Did Snow White turn into a frog? I don't know if the Phantom showed his face, or if they captured Orson Welles. Did Charlton Heston win the chariot race? Did they let Charles Laughton keep his bells? I'd love to know what happened to King Kong, and whether Bonnie married Clyde. Did Julie Andrews sing another song, and was Kirk Douglas crucified? Did Mrs. Danvers die in Mandalay? Did Edward G. meet Steve McQueen? Did Cary Grant get hitched to Doris Day? I miss the end of every film I've seen. Scarlett ever live at Tara? Did Ingrid Bergman marry Rick? I miss the last part of A Bridge Too Far. A Star Is Born in Moby Dick. What happened at the end of Rocky? Jaws. Born Free in Chariots of Fire. And now I'll never never know who One Star was. Next week I'm going to retire.
So you like Jeremy Nicholas' song?
I love his songs. I think he's so humorous and creative.
Well, the two you the first one was by him, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they certainly are that. And thanks for bringing those in. And I'm intrigued to see how that all comes together. It's Sprung and Awakened, a cabaret about change. Kent Conrad is the singer and the presenter and the actor. And Paul Johnston will be playing the piano for that. There are two performances only at the Krannert Center, both of them this weekend, Saturday at 10 o'clock in the evening, and then Sunday at 7:30. Both of them in the Studio Theater. In fact, it's called the Summer Studio Theater Series, so everything is at the Studio Theater. The next show we're going to be talking about this hour is called Gone Missing, and Kent is musical director for that. Tom Mitchell is a stage director, and we have, I think, five of the actors coming in join us in a matter of minutes. Stay tuned to Live and Local.
A long time ago, in the January snow, where we trudged for hours with no sense of the time, we were younger then, and we were not yet friends. We were just two lost angels bumming rides by the side of the road. You came to me like a whirlwind, and the burning asphalt started to bend. I saw Orion had no place to end, so I named it after you instead. Turned 24 when you broke into my prison door. Two worlds collided in life as I once knew it ends. You taught the stars to me beneath the shady sycamore tree. I was ugly then, but you chose me. Show me the lights of fluorescent beauty. Lost in the rain, our course was like the launching of a space plane. And you showed me the stars in your head that shine like daffodil streets. Maybe we're plagued in the heart, and letters and words tear us apart. There's happiness these days, but it still beats the heck out of me. If gravity can pull us apart, and ghosts can travel through our art, the waters weep and the oceans part by your spotlight, silvery moon. You don't seem to care what people think or say anywhere. You can look a thousand miles in the heart and stare, while the world thinks that we're buffoons. It don't seem to go, don't seem to know what I used to know. Just searching for the thoughts that I lost on the tip of my mind. And it's crazy that it rained again. A rabid squirrel said you were my friend. Is the beginning just a space to the end, like the line of the shore and the sea? Don't get lost in the game, even when the flame comes. Or if peace could sound like a victory drum, or if the next driver saw my hitchhiking thumb. 'Cause we're the lost children of the universe. Life ain't free, but it still means a lot to me. And maybe someday we'll learn what it's all about.
That was music by, I have to look this up here, by a group that we had on our show, it's been a while now, called Sweet Wednesday. They're actually just two people, and the song called Crazy That It Rained Again, although there's absolutely no rain in the forecast coming up. I just thought it was kind of a funky song to provide a little transition as we go from one summer studio show to another. The next one is called Gone Missing, and it's actually had a few performances at the Krannert Center already. The next one is tomorrow night at 7:30. There's one on Friday as well, and then next Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Saturday the 23rd for a couple of performances, and then that wraps up that particular production. And Kent Conrad, of course, who we featured in the first part of the show, is musical director for this. Tom Mitchell is the stage director. And we have five of the six cast members with us: Laura King, Jeremiah Lowry, Cara Morizzi, Nick Narcissi, and Kyle Thomas. Not here with us is Dana Parker. She apparently has an audition. And we can't begrudge anybody those things when you want to make it in this business. So who wants to explain Gone Missing? I was trying to sort this out. It says Gone Missing by the Civilians, written by Stephen Cawson, is it, from interviews by the company. What does this mean?
So the Civilians.
This is Laura.
Hello. Are a theater group in New York, and they wrote this piece, as I understand it, by going and talking to people on the street and talking to them about things that had gone missing in their lives, and then kind of transposed those conversations into monologues in the show, wrote a couple scenes, tossed in some songs, and that's kind of what makes up the production.
The only thing that's not actually from interviews by real people that was written specifically for the show was these two characters that play kind of a radio show aspect, a through line throughout the whole piece, that are Dr. Palinuris, and who is this expert on Greek history and brought in to talk about Atlantis and the losing of Atlantis and extrapolate upon that theme, and the interviewer named Terry. That's not an actual situation that they interviewed for. That was written specifically for the show and kind of carries you throughout the piece.
I think what makes it different from a lot of the shows that you might see at Krannert is it doesn't have a storyline in a conventional fashion. It really is just little bits and pieces of these interviews, monologue after monologue. There may be three or four people on stage at one time, but they're all in turn individually telling their story. So whereas a traditional show might have a kind of easy beginning, middle, and end, and you follow it through, this one appears, I don't know if I want to say improvisational, but it's much more directly to the audience as a series of monologues or interviews.
So the monologues may or may not connect to each other in any obvious way.
Correct.
Yes.
A lot of them are grouped together based on a theme. whether or not they received something back that they lost, or if it all took place at a certain amount of time, or the age of the characters might be grouped together. So they each sort of tell their own little arc as it goes through the play.
Anyone want to provide an example?
The rings are one of the examples of something that's really common. There's these three. In fact, the characters are named Pearl ring,
Sapphire ring, and
Silver ring. And it's these three ladies in the cast are talking about these three rings that they lost and how they lost them. But that's just one of those examples of something that's very common at a moment in the show where you have three very specific ideas about something that's gone lost, three rings. And so they kind of put that into one section in the show.
And then a song follows that has some connection or not.
Yeah.
Or not, yes. Or
exactly
not.
Right.
We have, for example, there's one song that's done entirely in Spanish. There's a translation afterwards that kind of provides some context. But then later in the show, Kyle performs a song in German, and there is no translation whatsoever. It's entirely in German, and there really doesn't seem to be anything that translates it to the audience to tell them why. It's about conveying the emotion as an actor, regardless of what the language is.
Yeah.
This sounds like it's not unlike the cabaret that Ken was just talking about.
A lot of parallels, yes.
And is there therefore a relationship for why you're doing the cabaret and how you ended up music directing this show on the same season?
They're totally unrelated, but you know, to use a big academic musical theater buzz phrase, this is a concept musical where it's the idea, the concept, which is what holds everything together. And like Jeremiah said, it's not a narrative, it's not plot-based, and it's kind of like my cabaret show, the same idea of, you know, the idea that's holding everything together is this idea, this concept of change, but each segment is radically different from each other.
Well, let's hear something from this show. What do we want to
We'll do the title song, Gone Missing, which is from the beginning of the show.
Things I have lost in the loony bin, 1994. I've lost my toothbrush, my sweater, all of my socks, my sense of humor, the plot, any sense of self-worth, the will to live.
3, 4!
When I was 8, I lost my innocence. Playing doctor, it was tense, but I found out the experience is great. When I was 8,
when I was 17, lost my virginity. You know, it really wouldn't bother me if afterward I hadn't been so mean. When I was 17.
Gone, gone missing. Gone, gone missing.
When I was 29, I lost my way. My mother thought that I was gay, but I think I was just waiting for a sign. When I was 29.
When I was 33, I lost my cool. I was 10 years out of school and as old as Jesus Christ would ever be. When I was 33.
Gone, gone missing. Gone, gone missing.
When I was 42, I lost my mind. My friends all tried to be kind, but I found out being crazy wouldn't do. When I was 42.
When I was 61, I lost the war. I don't recall what it was for, but I remember I had never had such fun. When I was 61.
Gone, gone missing. Gone, gone missing. Gone, gone missing. Gone Missing!
The title song from the show, Gone Missing, which is at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, running through June 23rd. The next performance is tomorrow night at 7:30 And we had five of the six members of the cast. Would the sixth member also be in this number, I assume?
Yes.
Are you pretty much in... Is everybody in all the numbers with solos, or do you sometimes...
There's a few solos that it's just that person on stage. And then there's a few solos where the chorus comes in, like Nick sings La Bodega, and the chorus also comes in on that. I sing Etch-a-Sketch, the chorus comes in on that.
But there are very few moments where just one person is on stage. We all seem to be on stage for most of the show.
Mm-hmm. I was just looking at your biographical sketches in the program, and except for Kara, you all have either current or recent connections to the U of I theater department, and Kara is teaching drama and music and other things to young children, and has a couple of young children herself. And I'm curious about the training you get from the U of I program. There, in the course of a season, seems to always to be a mix of straight theater, mostly, with a musical or two thrown in here and there. And I wonder if you're trained in theater first and then musical theater second, or has your work there prepared you to be in a musical like this?
That's a good question.
Thank you. Answer it.
We take acting fundamental classes all through our time, and we have a semester that we spend doing musical theater, actually with Tom Mitchell, the guy who's directing our show. Do you want to say anything about that?
I think that our program is not a musical theater basis, but one of my professors told me this year that the U of I program is a make-your-own-adventure book. Mm-hmm. So you can really get the training for musical theater if you look to seek it, if you seek it out. I know that I've done a few musicals this year, and you know, if I wasn't looking to do those, then they wouldn't have popped into my life. But we get one semester of musical theater, and I don't really know because I haven't taken it yet. I'm going to take it next year. But it really informs you on a basis of musical theater.
It's an opportunity. I mean, those opportunities do exist for you. And like you said, it's not based purely as a musical theater. There isn't a musical theater program necessarily in through the department. But you can find those opportunities. You can take voice lessons. You can take dance classes. If these are something that you as an actor, if they're a strength for you and you know you want to go into musical theater, there's opportunities to get training. There is a path that the department leads you down, and really the only class on that path is the one musical theater class you take. But as a college student, you've got an opportunity to take all sorts of classes. And if you want to develop yourself in a career, then it's your responsibility to say, I better take a dance class. I'd better take voice lessons. But it's based on the strength of the individual actor and what they want to do. So you do have those options available to you.
I'll interject and I'll say that what I think a lot of students are finding out when they graduate, even if they have no intention of being a musical theater actor, there are a lot of auditions that they take where it's a straight play, but they might be asked by the director, do you sing? Do you have a song with you that you can perform for us? And so it's great if students can leave the program and feel comfortable to be able to sing. In the time that I've been working with the theater department, there have been some really incredible moments of students who found a new strength in performing in a musical. Carly Cornelius in Cabaret this past year, she had never been in a musical before in her life, and she was our MC in Cabaret, and she was phenomenal.
Yeah, she was.
So you need to be prepared for everything in this this business, essentially. But you can also, I suppose, if there doesn't happen to be something coming up in the theater program, there's lots of theater going on in the community, and I imagine some of you have been involved in some of those. I know, Jeremiah, you have.
Yeah,
for sure, and Kara as well. And I don't know if the rest of you have ventured out of school or not to be involved in things. We have with us Laura King, Jeremiah Lowry, Kara Morisi, Nick Narcisi, and Kyle Thomas from Gone Missing, which is at the Krannert Center for the next couple of weeks. Kent Conrad's music director. What do you have next from this disjointed production, it seems?
Well, and to touch on the word disjointed, the music is disjointed. There's numbers in every different type of genre and style. And so we're going to do a number called Etch-a-Sketch, this idea about memory and things being slowly erased. And this is the ensemble, and it features Laura.
And this does not necessarily have anything to do with the political uses of Etch-a-Sketch of late, or does it?
No. But you can draw your own parallels if you like, so.
Once I was lucky in tabula rasa, I soaked up information like wedding invitations. I knew that the capital of the Congo was Kinshasa, and every other nation where friends of mine vacation.
I'm an Etch-a-Sketch,
but now I'm all shook up.
I'm a piece of wax,
but now the imprint's lost. Remember the things that I was thinking, like when two chickens based, or how a kiss should taste. Who was the president that came after Lincoln? My blackboard's been erased. My blackboard's been erased.
And that's from Gone Missing here on Live and Local. All the songs are by one person, though. I had to look at this when you said they're very disparate styles, so he's chosen to...
It's funny, you know, Jeremiah mentioned, you know, there's a song in German which is like a Schumann art song. And once again, this disjointed quality to the show, the song, which is performed by Kyle, comes right after a moment where... one of Nick's characters, who's a retired cop, is talking about really gruesome murder mutilations. And so we segue from that immediately into this gorgeous, you know, evocation of 19th century German romanticism. So there's a lot of moments like that in the show.
Is Michael Friedman is the guy who wrote the music and lyrics. Is he schizophrenic?
I don't know. He lives in New York, so probably the probability is high for that. So.
Well, you would almost have to be. I mean, earlier, Kyle, you were talking about the three women, and they play the names of characters that are so-and-so ring. Are those characters of the moment for that monologue, or are those characters that carry through the show?
They are, like many of the other characters in the show, they are of the moment. There are a few characters that carry through the show. Nick's character, the cop, who's a retired police officer, talking about things and different types of loss that he's encountered on the job. And a lot of times people losing their life and how he's come across that. That's a character that carries through. The three ladies who do the rings, that's just a moment that is tied in with Nick's song, La Bodega, which is about losing a picture in this bodega. And I think a lot of the characters just kind of come and go. They're there in the moment, and even the characters in their songs, they're there in that moment. They sing what they're trying to express, and then they're gone, and we don't see them again.
There are a few. There are the cop character, which I have, that carries through. And then we were talking earlier, the Terry and the Dr. Palinuris, the radio interview, they carry through pretty much the entire show, and they end the show really well.
But you, for example, Nick, are going to be the cop now and then, but you'll also be other people.
But I'll also be 10 other people.
Each of us has about, probably, I want to say there's something in the neighborhood of 50 characters in the show that at any one moment I'm playing a Jamaican security guard, and then I'm playing an old woman, then I'm playing an Englishman, then I'm playing a Korean deli worker. So we pop, it's an opportunity for all of the of the actors to really showcase a broad set of skills, as well as having to sing and do choreography. So it really pushes your limits as an actor and gives you a chance to really stretch, which is great. But when you talk about Nick playing the cop all throughout the show, for example, our Terry and Palinuris characters, who repeat through the show, every time they appear, are played by different actors, which is just one more interesting take on the show and how it develops. They really change it up for you.
And does the audience have to work to figure out, oh, here's that guy again? Even if it's played by somebody else?
I've asked some friends how they felt, and they said as soon as we heard the content, we were able to figure out the context and the characters pretty fast. So none of the people that have seen it who have talked to me have had any trouble following.
And right before each Terry and Palinurus moment, there's a little interlude that's done by Kent that's written into the music that sounds kind of like an NPR-style introduction to, okay, now we're back into the Terry Palinurus radio program.
So sort of like a leitmotif or something.
Yes. Yeah.
So here come these guys again.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And each time the two stools will be set in a specific place and the two characters will come out. And so you can kind of pick up on it again and again very easily.
Good. So we don't have to work too hard.
No.
There seems to be a theme, though, of the summer's offerings, at least until you get to Diary of Anne Frank in July and August, where, I mean, we talked about Shipwrecked, the other show that's sort of that's being given in rotation with this one, where you have three people playing. I think they came up with two of them each playing about 40 characters. So what would that be? 80 characters plus the lead guy. So that's an awful lot of characters. Mm-hmm. In other words, the Department of Theater is getting off cheap. Is what's going on here.
Tom warned us when we auditioned. He said, you know, what we're really looking for is actors who aren't afraid to make big, bold choices. Because of the number of characters that are involved in the show, you really have got to be able to do things to distinguish one person from the next, from a vocal standpoint or from how you carry yourself on stage.
Dialects.
It all, dialects and body movement. But you've got to be willing to really get out there and just jump in, because if not, the audience can't track it.
So this really is not only the Summer Studio Theater series, not only a point of entertainment for the audience, but it's clearly, Tom has in mind, continuing education for all of you guys who are in the show.
Sure.
Well, I know you got one more. I think you have one more song
we do.
To do. Want to be sure you can get it in. So what's that going to be?
This is the last song from the show called Stars, and it features Kyle.
When I lost my keys, you told me the words of Plato, that our possessions are only shadows, echoes of fate. So the things that you lose, you never possessed. You're only remembering, only remembering, and all we see is stars falling from so far away. Memories of the things that used to be.
So I know that you understand that nothing we have is real. We're just trying to get back to a place we knew before. So when I leave you, you'll know I'm just a shadow, an echo. You never possessed me, never possessed me, and all we see is stars falling from so far away. The things that we see are just memories.
From Gone Missing, the one of the two current presentations at the Summer Studio Theater at the Krannert Center, in addition to Kent Conrad's Cabaret, Sprung and Awakened, which will have just two performances on the weekend. The next performance for Gone Missing is tomorrow night at 7:30. There's one Friday night as well, and then next Tuesday, Wednesday, and the following Saturday. For the complete schedule of the Summer Studio Theater, go to krannertcenter.com. And my thanks to Kent Conrad, Laura King, Jeremiah Lowry, Cara Morizzi, Nick Narcissi, and Kyle Thomas. And best of luck to Dana Parker, also of the cast, who is auditioning today, I believe, for a show that we certainly hope that she will get. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. We have support from The Music Shop, celebrating 51 years of service to music education, now offering private lesson instruction for students of all ages. They also feature guitars, amplifiers, digital pianos, software, and sound equipment in the Pro Sound Center at 27 East Market View Drive, Market View Plaza, Champaign, or at themusicshop.com. If I have a calendar here, I think I have time to mention just a couple of other things going on in our area today anyway. The Game of Love is at the Station Theater in Urbana tonight through Saturday at 8 o'clock, although it may well be sold out. Gunny Sack Review play folk and bluegrass at the Gazebo Annex in Arthur tonight at 7 o'clock. Dave Luttrell is at the Creek Pub in Chatham, Illinois tonight at 8 o'clock. It's Tom Irwin and Jeff Ryan at Bob's Butternut Hut in Springfield tonight at 9 o'clock. Steve Poltz is at Sleepy Creek Vineyards in Fairmount. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. It's Rob Patton, Jack Brighton, and Laurie Simon at the Krannert Center for their Uncorked series tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. Heartland Theater Company's 10-Minute Play Festival continues in Bloomington Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. And we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a sampling of rosés, followed from 7 to 9 by the mellow jazz music of Ken Smith. It's a minute past one.